Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never going to get what I deserve. Because I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm going to give it everything I got.
What is up, everybody? This is the podcast, Theanos, presented by Moots Pizzeria and Bar. Before or after the game at Comerica, stop in to Moots Pizzeria for a slice. You won't be disappointed. And obviously, it's postseason now. Get down here, even if there's not a game. Detroit is beautiful, not so much tonight, but many nights it is beautiful this time of year. We are live once again in the heart of the D, downtown Detroit on Library Street at Moots Pizza. I'm joined again by Alex Urban. Alex, how are we tonight?
I'm wonderful, Jordan. Thank you again for having me.
Always a pleasure. It's great that you're always so willing to meet me down here on Library Street. Halloween, it's coming up. We're going to get this episode out slightly before Halloween. I feel like it's kind of a sticking point, specifically in my family. For whatever reason, Whitney hates Halloween. How do you feel about it?
You know what? I'm going to have to side with Whitney here. I'm not a big Halloween guy. But let me preface that. I'm a fan of blow-up costumes and silly Halloween and fun Halloween
okay,
parties.
Okay, so you like silly Halloween as opposed to like spooky Halloween.
I'm not into the gore. I don't like to go to haunted houses where somebody jumps out and I almost piss myself or anything like that. But you know, some funny cow costume. That's where I'm at.
Have you ever done a haunted house? Is that fear come from a specific memory?
Just very begrudgingly. And it's funny because I pop out and jump out and with people at work and at home with my wife, like I'll be hiding around the corner. But like when the tables are turned, I hate it.
Classic. You can dish it out, but can't take it.
That's 100% me.
Do you have an all time great costume that you either you've done or you've seen?
So I will say every year my wife and I go as a couple's costume.
Oh, okay.
So a couple here that we've done. This year we're going to be skeletons. She's pregnant, so we got skeleton t-shirts, and she's got a little skeleton on the
so
belly area.
So she's got the baby skeleton is represented.
Yep, that's
very cool.
But in previous years we've been Jurassic Park Rangers, our favorite movie, in ice cream and an ice cream scooper. And we went
to
a party in Grand Rapids, and some guy heckled me because he thought I was dressed as a Steak and Shake chef. Because I had the apron and everything. And then finally, we were Calvin and Johnson.
Ooh.
Calvin and Hobbes, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say.
I got the Lions losses on my mind.
I get how you would be one of those. I feel like it could get real graphic trying to depict Johnson. So you might appreciate this if you're a big Jurassic Park fan. We recently took a long weekend in St. Louis, and on the way we stayed in Springfield, Illinois, in a hotel. And it was like a dinosaur fossil convention.
I needed more information.
So it was this, it was kind of a random hotel. It clearly used to be a Country Inn and Suites. But all of the rooms on the first floor had these, like, dinosaur pun signs outside that, like, was their, I don't know, maybe their favorite dinosaur or whatever fossils they had. And the doors were open, and there's people milling in and about, like, looking at other people's fossil collections.
I would like to know where this place is. We're going to talk after this podcast.
It was, to be fair, it wasn't like, it was a convention that was, like, happened that weekend. I don't think it was, like,
a
permanent.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That would
be
a very
like,
strange hotel.
Like Ross Geller would go to.
Oh, yes.
Our least favorite TV character. Hi, I'm here for the Paleontologist convention.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he would, to be fair, some Based on some of the people I saw there, he would be easily the coolest guy in that.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah. They saw, you know, the like yellow Jeeps in Jurassic Park?
Oh, my God, yeah.
There was at least two of those in the parking lot. I'm like, dang, people just really like that movie.
That's serious.
And then we walked in and we're like, oh. No, that makes
yes,
that makes
okay,
sense.
Okay, got it.
Did see a fellow with a University of Michigan archaeology shirt on, so at least we were represented in that capacity. For better or worse.
Very
for better or worse. So my favorite Halloween costume, I'm not necessarily a big Halloween guy. I'm kind of like you, like, you know, silly is fine or whatever. Like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. That's the point of Halloween for me.
Yeah.
But my dad, growing up, was an incredible costume maker. He made me a Ninja Turtle when I was like, I don't know, a kid.
Which turtle were you?
Leonardo.
I
was always the basic getting our... garlic knots delivered. As always, they look absolutely
You didn't strike
immense.
Me as a Donatello guy.
Definitely not. And I kind of, now I have the personality of a Raphael, but I was definitely a Donatello, or a Leonardo back in the day.
I can see it.
And nobody likes the Michelangelo. But, and then a couple years later, when I was in like middle, junior high, maybe late elementary, my dad made me a bagel costume. It was like, it was basically like two cardboard bagel slices with like shoulder straps.
Sure. You were like a sandwich board, but a bagel.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So I was the meat in the bagel sandwich.
Got it.
I had a lot of people refer to me as donuts that night. Had to can tell them, no, it's definitely a bagel. So I feel like that kind of gives you insight into what kind of adolescent I was.
I love it.
Yeah, so that's my Halloween, but... You know.
What do you love most about Halloween, and what do you love least about Halloween?
Ooh, that's a good question. So most is definitely candy. I also, this is going to sound bad, but like, I also really like not having our light on for kids when they're coming up trick-or-treating, just watching them walk by.
That's like the ultimate flex, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, definitely.
As you're like munching on a Reese's, you're like,
yeah. Yeah. I'm an adult.
There's more in here, but you can't have it.
Exactly. And least is kind of all the weird, like, spooky stuff that comes with it.
Sure.
How about you?
I would have to agree with you, the candy. I used to be a big bobbing for apples fan. I don't know if that's Ooh. Legal anymore with kids, and, you know, who knows what's happening.
That's
but,
true.
You know, that kind of stuff. And then I agree with you, the really spooky stuff. I'm ready for the cobwebs and the inflatable lawn ornaments to come down on November 1st.
Definitely, and they'll be replaced with inflatable Rudolphs.
Oh, my gosh.
Definitely. I feel like maybe what tainted my view of Halloween also is the fact that I grew up in northern Michigan, and usually on Halloween it was like 26 degrees and raining. Like even as a kid, there's only certain things that your enthusiasm can outweigh.
Right.
And that weather, that was just never it.
No. Even if your mom would design the costume to have your coat underneath, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
true Michigan tradition.
100%.
Yes.
So if you want to get in touch with you, Ken, we are on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Hosted by Jay Hall, and Alex is at AUrban91. And as always, the podcast, Deanna, is presented by Moots Pizzeria and Bar, the Motor City's only authentic New York pizzeria. It's a staple in the Detroit pizza scene and is among the best of the best we have to offer here in Motor City. Some of our favorites are the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, the Bee Sting, and of course the world-famous garlic knots that are sitting in front of us, which is why I'm trying to get through the read so quickly. So they have some killer cocktails and some very well-priced beer and wine as well. Stop in with friends for a few slices, or grab a pie, or even hit the authentic slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more, or to place an order, and don't forget that they offer validation of parking in the Z lot up to 2 hours. Tell them that Jordan and Alex sent you.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
So we just consumed our dishes here at Moots. I got the peasant pasta, which was fantastic. This is my second time getting pasta, both of them just absolutely amazing. I would try and read what is actually in the pasta, but there are many, many Italian words. prosciutto. And a Romano cream sauce. It was great. Alex, what, you had the lasagna pasta?
The lasagna
pizza,
pie. Lasagna pizza. Yeah. So just some ricotta cheese, you know, sauce on the top. You can't beat pizza or pasta from a place that's owned by an Italian man, and that's what Moots is.
Thought about getting a sandwich. Maybe still have one more trip.
That's right.
I think sandwich is the only thing that I need to hit the Moots bingo. So let's get into it. It is obviously the postseason. The Tigers are not factoring into it. Have you enjoyed baseball postseason so far?
I have. I have to say my favorite moment was Boston getting knocked out. I am as petty as they come. But, no, you know, it's been really interesting. I like to see Atlanta in it. Atlanta reminds me of Detroit in the way that, like, they haven't had a lot of fanfare. They haven't had championships stacked like some other cities. And I root for any city that has a team that's been there for the first time in a while, even though you could say the Atlanta Falcons were the Super Bowl somewhat recently. But Freddie Freeman, Acuna, you know, all those guys, they're fun to watch. You love the story about their skipper. And you know what? I like the Astros, too. So
yeah, do you find yourself less inclined to root for them this time around than last time? Because I feel like basically we were all Astros fans the first time they were in the series.
Yep.
I guess without Verlander there, it's just a little bit less like, oh yeah, it's Tigers adjacent.
I'll be petty again and say I want them to get so close that Carlos Correa tastes the champagne, but he needs that taste again, so he signs with us, and he's like, let's go get it.
All right. I completely agree with all of that
Braves
logic.
In seven, if you will.
Oh, there we go. My favorite bit was, you know, I came prepared to say that the Red Sox not making the World Series, too. I feel like that's a bit redundant at this point. The weird Jock Peterson ride has been really fun. The Pearls, like, I wouldn't have necessarily pegged him as a character, but it turns out that he's quite the showman.
Yes, coming out of his shell, you know, adding some flair to that team, some excitement. Everybody needs that kind of person when you ride to the World Series. I feel like, you know, what else is going to be the posters hanging in your neighborhood bar for centuries?
Yeah, that's true. That's the thing. This time of year, it gets people drinks paid for the rest of their lives.
Yep.
The other thing, is actually one of my good friends, tweeted, it was the anniversary of the Big Poppy home run off Joaquin Benoit, and he tweeted me the video. Was like, hey Jordan, do you remember this? I sure do. Right. And
did he include a trigger warning? I mean, I feel like you can't just send that to someone.
Oh no, the purpose was to trigger.
I see.
And the thing is that Benoit had him struck out earlier in that at bat if the umpire had just rung him up. That's just scientific facts.
You want to talk about Halloween and scary? Still haunts my dreams.
Yeah. So that being said, the image of Torrey going up over the wall, legs in the air, I hate it, but it is one of those iconic baseball moments. It just sucks that it was at our expense.
I was at a wedding recently it was a friend of my wife's and a good friend of hers. Her fiance is a Boston lifelong Red Sox fan.
Oh, yikes. You know,
I'm chatting with him, and I brought up that moment and just the smile that crossed his face. It reminded me of, you know, like Maglio hitting the home run. It's that kind of a memory for him, and I was just like, God!
Yeah, and the only difference is
you can't enjoy that.
They've
hurt for everyone.
Won some. Like, the Maglio home run was amazing, and then we didn't finish. Like, so you would have been a little bit younger when Mags hit that home run. Like, do you remember what you were feeling as that?
It was 2006, and, you know, I grew up as a little guy with the Wings, so I had, you know, that winning culture. And then the Pistons in 04, and they're in the finals in 05, and I was just like, this is great. You know, all our teams are on the up and up. I remember watching that game in my family room with my parents and just seeing, like, the crowd's reaction got me so juiced. And then I had to go to bed at, like, 10 o'clock.
Oh, that's a killer.
But, you know, everybody's talking about it at school the next day. And I was like, they're going to wax the Cardinals.
Yeah, there was no doubt in my mind. Like, oh, it's over.
Yeah, because I thought I didn't think they'd beat the Yankees, and I didn't think they'd beat the A's at that time. I remember talking about it. And then I was like, there's no way they lose to St. Louis. St. Louis is, like, the worst team to ever squeak into the playoffs anyway. And that 06 happens.
We couldn't feel the bunt, and it was over. Yep. Yeah. And remember, I think, didn't Nate Robertson start game one against the Yankees? Like, facing the evil empire, and we're throwing Nate Robertson out there. Yeah. And, you know,
they didn't have an answer to gum time.
How could you have an answer to gum time? So the point of all of this, get to the playoffs, win a World Series, hopefully. We're going to need some help. Yes. I asked you to think about, who do you want to see the Tigers bring in this offseason? And who do you realistically think might actually come in? Because those we were discussing this over dinner, like, right now, before the end of the World Series, it's all conjecture, it's all, you know, potential. Like, who are the Tigers going to sign? They could sign anybody. Like, we could go out and spend all kinds of money. And as soon as the free agent signing period starts is when the rubber hits the road and eventually we all have our hearts broken. But we're still in that honeymoon period. Let's dream a little. Who do you think that we're going to bring in? Who do you want to bring in? Ooh. Obviously, other than Correa.
Okay.
Although, you might as well start with him. Let's be honest.
So, my three top needs. Shortstop is number one. A frontline starter, at least one, but I'll settle for one for number two. And a catcher for number three.
Okay.
My tiers for shortstop. Correa, Seager, Story, Baez as a fourth, and you know what, Semien, I don't, even though it's only like 2 years older than the rest, I don't trust the age.
I completely agree. He develops so late. Like, I don't know. I always question, like, is this just a name bias thing? Like, all of those guys came up with pedigree,
yep.
And, you know, he wasn't necessarily quite the same level of prospect. Like, do I hold that against him, like, to that extent, or... But yeah, I, for whatever reason, I'm very Marcus Semien leery, despite the fact that the last 2 years have been incredible.
I mean, you can't knock the player whatsoever.
But I'm also, I'm straight out on Javi Baez.
Yep, same.
I don't know.
I think he was perfect in his role as like a super, super utility guy with the Cubs, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think you pay a guy like that the kind of money that he's going to be asking for.
And I don't think he ages well either. I feel like he's got a lot of, I don't know, I was going to say Victor. And like, he's not the same player as Victor, but I could see them going downhill quickly in a similar manner, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, oh, it absolutely does. And I hope that they are past the point of paying for what players have done in the past.
Have we done that before?
Just a couple times. And it's different if they're a player that's come up through your, you know, not through your system, but, you know, played for you for a long time.
Yeah,
Miguel
exactly.
Cabrera, you know, Mike Ilitch was rewarding him for doing that with the Tigers.
An all-time great, I have no issues with a lifetime achievement contract.
Sure.
Like, it's not ideal now, but he deserved it.
I totally agree. But you're not going to pay someone else's superstar for what they did with another team.
Exactly.
Yeah. What are you, shortstop? Give me
shortstop, I completely agree. Like, that is the number one priority. I was a big Willy Castro guy. I thought he was that guy.
Yeah.
I still have an ember of hope burning for Willy Castro, but I mean, if I had the choice to go out and get somebody, I mean, I would take that 10 times out of 10. I feel like it's kind of Correa or bust. He's the name that's been linked with us so heavily, and you could easily see Story ending up in New York and Seager going back with the Dodgers. I feel like Correa is kind of that one guy that's like, there isn't a natural fit for him. And maybe, I mean, let's be honest, it's probably just Tiger's tinted glasses that makes me think that it's going to happen. But I do think that this one actually might. So
it gives you shades of the free agency years of the past, right? Where you're kind of, we're in the race for every.
Yes.
Like, I remember when we signed Victor Martinez, so I was like, Mike Ilitch just opened it up and got him.
Yeah.
You know, he went out and got the player, and, you know, regardless of the cost and.
And then did it again, 2 years later with Prince?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prince, and then they got Jay up, and we were talking about Jordan Swimmerman earlier.
Jordan Swimmerman, RIP.
Yeah, but, you know, it's starting to feel a little bit like that, and it's refreshing, but I'm tapering my expectations because what if it doesn't happen?
Yeah. Well, then we have a similar season we had this year, I guess.
I'm Charlie Brown, and Al Avila is holding the football.
That might be the best analogy I've certainly ever heard on this show. All right, so let's get into your starting pitchers.
Okay.
You say that you want a frontline guy, possibly two. I don't foresee us getting both a shortstop and a frontline guy. But we desperately need at least one more arm to fill out the rotation. Probably more than that if we want to actually have, you know, quote-unquote depth.
Yep.
And hopefully not a Julio Teheran or a...
Right.
I mean, I guess we did well with Willy Peralta, so maybe I shouldn't poo on the idea too much.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with Willy Peralta, but so let's say we don't get one of these top-named shortstops. I hope we do, but if we don't, let's spend big on a starter. My three, there's three names. Marcus Stroman, love him. Noah Syndergaard.
That's a very interesting name.
And I hate to include him, but just because I think he still has some tread on the tires, Scherzer. More than Verlander.
Interesting.
For the pitchers that they are, novelty, sure, Verlander. But Scherzer, I feel like, can still be a top-line pitcher for you.
trying to think of what it would cost, but it would actually be a very interesting exercise to bring them both back. The problem is I feel like there's not as much of a discount as you need to actually do that.
I totally agree.
If you could get them each at like 15 mil per season, yep, and have the two of them kind of turn, like, combine into one ace, like, that would be, but I mean, you're still paying borderline ace money for both of them,
unfortunately. And the age scares me. Obviously, you don't know what you're going to get from Verlander coming back from Tommy John. But yeah. Yourself?
I feel like with Verlander, there's a certain bit of, you know, Brady Ronaldo to him that, like, I kind of think he's just going to come back humming. I mean, I would take him in a heartbeat. And same with Scherzer. Like, yep, Scherzer is such a competitor. Give me him all day long. Like, he is probably going to die on a major league mound. Like, I'm willing to go down with that ship.
He's a dog.
He is.
He's just a bulldog.
Syndergaard is the name that you brought up that I love. Like, there's still talent there. Like, talent like that doesn't disappear. He hasn't gotten the results that the stuff should have. Previously, I'd be like, well, we're clearly not the team to get that out of him. But we just might be now.
Spread a little of that better.
Better magic, know. Yeah.
Some
absolutely.
Better cheese, if you will.
I very much will. Robbie Ray is the other name.
I love it. A little reunion.
What?
A little reunion.
Yeah, a little reunion. Yeah. We traded Shane Green for him, right? Or traded him away for Shane Green.
I believe so.
That probably wasn't our best move. Yeah. Amongst other not good moves.
And then he came over with Lumberdozy and Ian Kroll, yeah, right?
Yes. In the Pfister deal.
Yes.
We should... Okay, so we people talk about all of the bad deals that are made all the time, and this was obviously before Avila, but looking back, moving Pfister to get Robbie Ray, like, that actually isn't a terrible idea. We just didn't have the patience to develop it.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Which, classic... Trader Dave, but I digress. I don't think we have the money to sign Robbie Ray, but I feel like there's, for whatever reason, still a little bit of a stick. I think it's maybe the walk rates, which isn't, you know, it's admittedly higher than you'd want,
yep,
but I feel like he's not going to get quite that tippy top ace money that he maybe deserves based on this past year. It could be a bit of a value play, but I'm pessimistic that we actually make a splash in that regard.
I could see it, though, and I think you're right. I think, and this is just me, but I sense some, you know, people aren't buying into him as much as maybe they should, because he's took a while to really bloom as a pitcher. There's still some skepticism in the league about the pitcher that he is, but maybe that plays into a team's fortune. Is it the Tigers? I agree with you. I don't think so, but I'd love to have him. I think, you know, he would be a nice building block with the young guys.
Stroman worries me a little bit. I mean, clearly I would take him. Like, he is a dynamite pitcher. It's just the frame. Like, sure, being that small, yeah, I worry about how he... I mean, if we can get him for 2 or 3 years, though, I mean, he clearly has that left in the tank.
Right.
So that's an interesting choice. And like we said, I unironically really hope they bring back Willie Peralta. Like, I actually think there's something there, which is not a statement I would have...
I was thrilled. Absolutely thrilled with him.
So, and... Like, I made fun of Tehran and Urania earlier in the show, but I do hope they take a couple swings like that, and I'm sure they will. There's virtually nobody that I don't think Fetter can make just a little bit better, and sometimes it's just marginal gains like that turns a guy from being kind of meh to slightly better than meh, which we need guys that are like that to eat some innings. So.
I totally agree.
All right.
And if we've seen anything this year, it's that you need that depth. Yeah. In the starting, you know, whether you're going to stash him at Toledo or you just can't have guys that you're throwing out there. And it was way too many bullpen days for what they're trying to do moving forward, what that happened this season.
Yeah, and I don't suspect it's going to change. Like, Mize, I would imagine, will get more of a full load. But I can't see them running out Scooble and Manning and anybody else from the farm in quite that same, like, get the ball every five right. days and pitch as long as you can. Like, I still think they're going to treat both of those guys with kid gloves, and
yep,
that's going to leave a lot of bullpen days.
Totally agree.
Maybe we need to sign a couple more Tyler Alexanders. Maybe that's the key. See what Alexi
Gondo's
up to.
No more mustache either, right?
Really? I didn't see that.
So I guess the day after the season, and he said he had it only for the season, and he said it was very annoying, so he couldn't wait to shave it.
I can imagine.
Which is heartbreaking. I wish I could, you know,
well,
grow a mustache.
He's got time. You got time.
There we go.
Yeah.
And then my last need... catcher.
Yeah. All right. Talk to me about it.
It's time to dabble in the trade market, Jordan. It's time for El Avila to put on his suspenders, hike up the pants, and go for it. You know,
I agree.
It's incredibly thin class at catcher. You know, everybody that I looked up from the free agent side of things is just was unexcited. They're not going to do anything for you.
I think
right?
El Buffalo's back out there.
Yeah. Well, he was. He's a little later in the broadcast. So I'm going to bring him up. But you know, I would love for them to really take a swing. Wilson Contreras.
Oh, I like that.
You know, sometimes you own a major league baseball franchise. Swing for the fences, no pun intended.
Yeah.
You're trying to build something. We need help at catcher. Go get a guy.
He is such a foundation piece, too. A high on base guy, calls a great game. I love that. I've not heard anybody make that call, but I love that. And they're in such a rebuild. The Cubs, they're in such a rebuilding phase that, like, I don't think it would cost the world to get him. That's really interesting. I'm all in on that. When's the last time Al has made, I mean, literally nothing immediately comes to mind, kind of a slightly under the radar deal that has improved the team in a like any sort of substantial way?
Right. I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, we've never seen him actually as a buyer in terms of trades.
No, like I don't think so.
So I would be very interested to see, and all the guys that they brought in under him and, you know, the Fetter and the Hinch effect. I want to see their evaluation of players that are actually going to come in and contribute right away.
Yeah. That's a very interesting call. I'm weirdly – so I think Jake Rogers has established himself as a very capable backup catcher.
Yes.
That the role of starting catcher is still there to be had. I kind of like Eric Haas in a way, like, you know, next year is going to be bad.
Yes.
But I want to see him get the chance to do it. But he also can spend some time in the outfield. Like, he's not a guy that needs to be behind the dish all the time.
No, yeah. I agree.
Go get me Contreras. I love that.
Excellent.
So I would be lying if I said that I had any other big needs. Like, those are pretty obvious. Like, second base is clear for next year. Jamer, like, those are the big ones. Let's move on to – let's give away some awards.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Excellent.
It's kind of our first postseason episode. I came up with MVP, Rookie of the Year, Cy Young, and biggest bust. And then you had, I'm trying to think, there
most
was
improved.
Most improved.
Yep.
All right. So let's.
I'd like to start with you if I can.
All right. So you want to start at the top or the bottom?
Start at the top.
All right.
So you know what? Start at the bottom.
Start at the bottom. All right.
Sorry. Switching things up on you. Most improved.
Most improved. So this is a tough one because there was a lot of guys that outperformed my expectations. Like, I mean, Akil is obviously the name that comes to mind in terms of, but I don't know what he was at before, so it's hard to know how much he improved. So what I'm going to go with is Jake Rogers. He has turned himself, in my opinion, and maybe I'll do both a pitcher and a catcher because someone else is also in my mind. But Jake Rogers has turned himself in from, I mean, more or less on his last chance coming into this year to probably a long-term part of the plan, at least injury dependent. And, you know, it's amazing what some reps will do for you. And then Tyler Alexander, I feel like we've discussed him a lot, but I was not a Tyler Alexander guy. He just kind of slowly has gotten a little bit better, and he's firmly in the plans now, despite no real pedigree or anything like that. I mean, so I have co-most improved players with, hopefully I haven't taken them from you.
No, I love those choices. Do you think Tyler Alexander breaks camp next year in the starting rotation?
That is a very good question. I'm going to say yes.
Interesting.
I'm going to say he starts there. I feel like breaking camp is kind of classic for maintaining the status quo.
Yep.
He might not stay there, but I would imagine that he will start there.
Okay.
And I'm color me curious as to what that looks like.
Sure. I love it. All right. For most improved, I had Robbie, because two B's, base on balls, Grossman. Got it? So I was very pleased. I thought it was an interesting signing. I was like, all right, what's this guy going to do? Kind of like a two-year stopgap kind of guy. He was the first multi-year contract they handed out in a while. But he, you know, pretty much every measurable metric improved, and this is a career year.
Yes, so yeah, 31, whatever
it is.
Yeah.
I was really thrilled. And he was my most improved. And Willie Peralta, honorable mention for sure.
Yeah. I don't love to toot my own horn, but on give or take this show last year, Robbie was one of the guys that I'm like, it'll be a good signing for us.
Great call.
It's a premonition. I'm the type of guy that on the show loves to have like 5 4A type outfielders and just mix and match. Like that was, he's a classic guy like yes. that, you know, there was a little bit more in the tank. Yeah, I love it.
That was great.
Love Robbie.
Biggest bust.
You alluded to it earlier. There's only, I guess we could go with Urania or Tehran, but, sure. or Nomar Mazar, I guess. The collective free agent signing class is the biggest bust, but El Buffalo was rough.
Wilson Ramos, and then true to form, signs with the Cleveland Indians and hits a bomb off the Tigers. I was like, you know, you couldn't.
It was inevitable.
You could ask any Tigers fan to write that. And then he blows out his ACL and you kind of feel bad for him. But
you're like, oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
I was excited for the signing. I was like, yeah, this guy's arguably one of the worst pitch framers and defensive catchers in the league, but he can mash, he can rake. And the guy was, you know, he had a bat made out of Swiss cheese. He couldn't hit anything.
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head, but he had to have hit like fourth or fifth on opening day.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
It was, you know, they for a 1 year deal, they gave him a little bit of cheddar.
And they gave him all that cheddar. Yeah.
Cy Young.
This is a little bit tougher. I feel like there's no real standout. I feel like Casey is probably the choice. But that's. I mean, Casey was perfectly – he was good. Maybe a lack of other options. I'll tell you who was on pace to be it, though, was Turnbull. I mean, granted, it was, three or four starts before he eventually succumbed. But he started off really well.
He arrived. I mean, you know, that no-hitter, you're like, we really got something here with this staff. And then Detroit sports.
Exactly. And once again, a special shout-out to Tyler Alexander. Like, doing it in so many different roles
–
clearly he wasn't our best or most valuable pitcher. Well, maybe he was the most valuable pitcher. Clearly wasn't the best. But there's something to be said for a guy that goes out and performs in several different roles.
Absolutely.
How about you?
Casey Mize as well. You know, I was really pleased with the steps he took forward. He had a little bit of a rough start to the year. I mean, you know, there was rumors that he might not have even made the club breaking camp.
Yeah.
But he really kind of got on track. It was the improvements that I wanted to see. I really think they did it right with how they managed him.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I loved that they didn't shut him down like halfway through the season. You know, they kind of like had those three-inning starts. And while it's very aggravating, you know it's going to pay dividends in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
I've always said that I expect Tarek Skubal to be the better pitcher of the two in the long run.
Yeah.
But he outperformed Tarek Skubal by a pretty wide margin when it was all said and done.
Yeah, he's clearly the more polished, but I tend to agree. Like, I think there's a higher ceiling with Skubal.
Yep.
It's just a matter of him, and I'm crossing my fingers here, just a matter of him reaching that. But,
keeping the ball in the ballpark.
Yeah, that would be a good start. And he's clearly not the only Tigers lefty in recent memory to have issues with keeping the ball in the ballpark.
Ooh, yes. Rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. It can't go anywhere else but Akil. Akil is just the man. I love that dude. I did not see that coming.
No.
But
did anyone? And I mean, if you did, I need the winning lottery numbers.
Yeah, for real.
You know, a guy picked by the Minnesota Twins organization, I think I want to say 2018, in the second round, never hit above high A.
Yeah.
You know, had that big surgery, and they draft him, and you think they're just going to stash him. It's going to be who did the last real pick, five pick that they got? The outfielder. Jose Reyes?
Oh, Victor Reyes.
Victor Reyes. You think it's going to be Victor Reyes all over again, where they're just going to, he's going to be the very end of the bench, and he's going to get in there at garbage time. And this guy's mashing on opening day, right?
Like, yeah.
First pitch he ever saw in the major leagues, hit it over the fence.
Fairy tale story. Yeah. I'm, as a psychology experiment, I'm curious what happens if he doesn't get off to an amazing start.
Yes.
You know, but I mean, I obviously history is written by those who succeed. Like, but that had to have played so much into his confidence that propelled him. But I don't know. He has a very good approach. Like, I do think it was probably always in the cards.
Yep.
But it happened so much faster than maybe it should have because he got off to that scorcher.
Much as I dump on Alavila, you got to give him credit, whoever
yes.
made that decision. It was a great pick. It was on no one's radar. I couldn't tell you any other name in the Rule 5 draft. I know I wanted other players at the time.
Yes.
And at this point, sure. I'm like, you didn't have the first pick, whoever did. Why aren't you taking Akil Baddoo?
Yeah. Yeah, for real. I feel like Rule 5 is such a crapshoot. I always have somebody going in, and I'm like, oh, that's the guy. And then I'm always disappointed because they take Victor Reyes or Reed Garrett or Daniel Stump.
Oh, yeah.
But this, I'll give it to him. This time it worked.
And then, you know, I was disappointed when Will Vest got picked up by Seattle.
Yeah.
And he's back in the org. So you're totally right. It's a crapshoot. But Akil Baddoo, welcome to Detroit. You endeared yourself to the fans, and I hope you get off to a hot start next year. Prove that you're not a flash in the pan, because this organization needs that kind of a player.
For sure. Special shout out to Eric Haas. Yep. As much as we didn't see Akil coming, we did not see that coming either.
Yes.
Like I said, I suspect that he's in for a rude 2022, but I think he's earned the chance to go through that. So
I totally agree.
All right. The big one.
MVP. My MVP, AJ Hinch.
I knew you were going to get cheeky on me. Yep.
I think he's just, you're talking about changing the culture in an organization. I really hate to be cliche, but there is something completely different about how the Detroit Tigers are run as a baseball team.
Yeah.
And I think the way that they're hiring within the system for player development, the people that they're bringing in, I mean, he had a huge hand in bringing Chris Fetter here. I can't say enough about AJ Hinch.
Yeah, completely agree. And it's not dissimilar to Leland coming in.
Yes.
I mean, brought in Leland, then signed Maglio, and that just kind of jump-started the first wave. Hopefully there's a Correa to follow Hinch to jump-start the second wave. Like, I don't know.
History repeating itself.
Yeah, I completely agree. If we're talking most valuable person in the organization, there is no doubt in my mind it's AJ. On the field, there's several options. I elected to go with Scope. He was the most dependable. Jamer's in that category. Honestly, Akil's in that category. Like,
yeah.
But Scope was the guy you wanted up in that situation this year, which is tends to be how I choose who I think is most valuable.
It's a great choice, and he earned that contract. I loved that they gave him the contract,
yes.
And even that he had a little bit of a quiet end of the season after he got it. He earned it, and I think you need some stability, especially at the cornerstone.
Yeah, and I think that sends a message to some of the other guys, like, this is we're in it for the long haul now, as opposed to continual one year. Like, I get the purpose of doing that, but it does send a certain message that everyone here is transient. And how do you build, like you're talking about, a culture when likely 50% of the guys in the clubhouse aren't going to be here next year?
I totally agree. If I was going to go with a player, Candelario, I thought he took from where he was in 2019. Where, you know, he was like a fringe getting cut from the team. Or maybe it was 2020. Whatever, going into
there
that
was
season.
Calls for him to be sent down at
right.
points.
Yep.
Whatever year that was. They all run together.
He was one of your best offensive players. I think he was close to leading the league in doubles. At least he did for a short time there.
I think he ended up tie. I don't know. He was very close, if not at the top.
So very, very pleased with that production. And he was my on-the-field MVP.
Yeah. Which, something to be said about that. There's not that many guys that is the case for.
Absolutely.
What up, fam? This is, of course, your boy Jordan here to tell you about one of my all-time favorites, Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. It is the only authentic New York pizzeria in the Motor City, and has become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. You know me, I don't play when it comes to pizza, and this is where it's at. Amongst the best of the best that they have to offer are favorites like Garlic Knots, the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, Gemelli Pasta, and that chocolate lava cake is hotter than Andrew Romine in April. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. Stop in with friends for a few pies and grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, they validate 2 hours of parking in Lot Z. Tell them Jordan and Eric sent you. All right, so it's not a traditional power rankings, but you have ranked something. You want to wade into these waters?
I'd love to.
All right.
So in honor of the World Series, I want to take everyone, close your eyes, sit down at your favorite stadium, whether it be Tiger Stadium, Comerica Park, wherever it is, and you're going to order a piece of food. And I want you to rank those foods from 5 to 1 and what they are. Do you have in mind what your rankings are at number 5? I'm putting you on the spot.
Ooh. All right.
If you need, here's my list right in front of me. If you need some ideas.
So, all right, let's go. Burger is a great choice. Mm. There's only so much you can do to ruin a burger. Like, it's a very safe ballpark choice. Let's see. Let's go.
Burger at 5.
Burger at 5. Chicken tenders at 4.
Ooh.
I am a huge chicken tendy guy.
Excellent.
I mean, that is, other than coming to Moots, that's more or less my order most places. I have the palate of a child.
You know who had excellent tenders and fries?
Oh,
the Palace.
Really?
The Palace had such good meaty chicken tenders and such crispy fries. That was my go-to at the Palace all the time.
Huh.
RIP, pour one out for the Palace.
Speaking of the Palace, did you watch the Malice at the Palace documentary?
I refused to watch it because I heard that it was the perspective of
Ron
Artest.
Massively slanted
It would boil my blood too much, so I'm not going to give Metal World Peace the satisfaction.
Good call. Yeah, that's wise. It was interesting, but it was heavily, heavily Pacers slanted.
I believe it.
And also, Jermaine O'Neal comes across as a deeply sad individual. Like, that defined who he is as a person. And like, I think he was maybe the executive producer of the documentary, and it was basically just an exercise of him trying to exorcise the demon of that night. Like, it was he came across as somebody who desperately needs to move on and just can't. Maybe he should see somebody.
So we got burger at 5.
Burger at 5.
Tendies.
Ice cream.
Another great
choice. That is always
summertime at the ballpark.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Then I'll go hot dog. And number one, nachos, specifically at Comerica. You know I'm into them. The shawarma nachos.
Shawarma nachos.
You cannot beat those.
Shout out to the homies in Dearborn, man.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. All right,
I think those are great rankings. Myself, pizza.
Pizza always a good choice.
If you can find a slice that's a little bit better than the knockoff hot and ready, I think that's great. Number 4, burger.
Wait, before we move on, okay. I do want to talk about the pizza at Comerica.
Sure.
It is the pizza at Comerica looks better than any hot and ready you will see anywhere else in the world.
That's true.
I don't know why, but it's like they put all of the effort of making pizza, like Little Caesars corporate, into making it at Comerica. Like, I mean, hot and readies everywhere else are just straight up crap.
Yes.
But at the ballpark, they're like, this is real
deep dish, right?
Oh, is that the difference?
Yes.
That makes sense.
Thicker, they're cheesier. I think it's not so much that those pizzas, they're good, but I hate paying like $17
that's
for two
obscene.
Large slices.
Yeah, you get
but
a,
that's ballpark
you get
places.
Our Moots meals here for right. less than that, and it's a thousand times better.
If I may throw in there, prior to COVID, you could bring any food item into Comerica Park from the outside. So I remember one time I walked in with a fistful of a shawarma sandwich from Bucharest, and I stunk up the entire section around me, and I was in heaven.
Shout out to Bucharest. Oh, my gosh.
Great, great.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so I got the pizza at 5, the burger at 4. Burgers are tough at the ballpark, I will say. I've had some ballpark experiences where they're a little, you can tell they're moving them too quick back there, but a good burger at the ballpark. If you're ever outside of Comerica Park exploring the city, hit up Corktown Nemo's Bar.
All right.
Excellent burger over there. Used to be my tailgate spot for opening day. Number 3, nachos. Excellent choice.
Classic.
Number two, I'm a big peanuts guy.
Are you?
Like, big peanuts guy.
Shelled?
Yes.
Wait, so you...
I don't eat them with the shell. I crack them.
Well, right. But you, so you're willing to put in all the work?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
I feel like it's a big ballpark experience for me.
It is, but it, I'm far too late, see. I refuse to eat anything that's not shelled for me.
That's fair. That's fair. And then number one, I got to get a dog at a ballpark. Just like I have to get a dog at the turn when I'm golfing.
Oh, for sure.
Got to get a dog at the ballpark. And those are my stadium rankings.
I like it. I like it. Very succinct. I'm going to tell Eric, maybe five's the right call. Seven might be too much. Speaking of Eric, we'll wrap up with this. PETA put out a tweet recently that wants baseball to change bullpen, the phrasing, to arm barn. Apparently, the bullpen is where the cows go before they're slaughtered, I believe is the origin of the phrase, which
no
is
idea.
Obviously something PETA is against.
Sure.
How do you feel about arm barn?
I definitely laughed when I saw it, and I think they do this just to get their name in the headlines,
of course.
But I cracked up at some of the names that were put out there as alternatives, and I saw Eric's thread, which made me think of you guys immediately, and he was just cracking me up.
All right, so let's go through some of the ones that Eric has listed. First is his arm barn. He has the Huck Paddock. That doesn't even rhyme. That's not his best work. The Throw Dojo. I very much like that.
The Throw Jo.
Ooh, even better. Love when you can combine. The Aid Stockade. I feel like he's playing fast and loose there. The Closer Enclosure.
I love that one.
The Hurler,
that was my favorite of his.
Hurler Parlor. That doesn't rhyme either. And the Relief Sheaf. Save Enclave. Fastball Taj Mahal. The Fling Ring. The Toss Hose. Fernando Condo, and he's got a gif of Fernando Rodney in Hoffman Estates.
I have a Fernando Rodney story for today or another day.
Always today.
All right.
Always today.
When he was a rookie, and I want to say 05, 06, you know, early 2000s, when the bullpens used to be in the right field seats.
Oh, that's old school.
The entire game stood at the edge of the bullpen. Fernando, throw me a ball! Throw me a ball! For innings on end. I don't know how my parents are like, somebody didn't grab me. I'm sure the people around wanted to just slap a child more than they ever wanted in their life. And by like the seventh inning, he just breaks down and throws me a ball.
Throws you a ball?
I just take it, go back to my seat.
I mean, that is just the picture of persistence. Like, you earned that ball. Do you still have it?
I'm sure I do somewhere. I've been lucky enough to get that one, and I think I've caught two balls in my life.
Really?
Yep.
Not just
foul,
one.
Foul balls. All foul balls.
That's impressive.
Right place, right time, and they're all bouncers. Like, they bounce off the back of a seat and went three sections over and rows up.
Were you pressured to give it to a kid?
I have not caught one as an adult. I've been younger.
Oh, so
when
you
I've
were
gone.
A kid. Okay,
yeah,
so that's good.
These days, I would say, because I have caught them in my life, I would give them to a kid. But had I not any time before that, I would keep it.
Yeah, that's
a big debate in my friend group what we would do.
It's a sticking point. Until I'm in that situation, I can say for sure I don't know what I would do. I'd like to think that I would give it to a kid, but we'll never. I mean, we'll probably never know because I'm not the type of guy that gets in a scrum for a foul ball. Well, I guess maybe someday we'll find out. But,
love it. Were there any other arm bars?
I honestly kind of like arm barn. Like, I think that that's. Like, I'm not, like, I love animals more than most people,
same.
But I can't get down with the whole PETA thing. But this one, I think they nailed it.
Armbarn is, I think it's great. I mean, it's fun, and they did something where they were kind of off the cuff, and I don't even know if they realized what they did, but
yeah.
I loved Eric's. My favorite of his was the Closer Enclosure. I have the Throw Joe, the Gas Station.
The Gas Station. The works on so many levels. You got your refilling, like,
the Armory.
That's good, too.
And then a specific name for the bullpen cart, the Reliever Retriever.
Yeah, I feel like that started off hot, and then...
I don't know what happened to
it. Maybe just nobody used it.
Maybe.
I mean, it takes a certain character to use that.
That's true.
I'm trying to think. Do we have anybody out there that would, like, lean into that?
I feel like if Phil Koch was still around, he would.
Oh, yeah. Phil would be a big cart guy.
He'd probably be driving it and then, hand the wheel over.
Yeah. Maybe Joe.
Joe Jimenez?
Yeah. I'm not sure Joe's going to have the chance
He'll
to
drive it
that
up to I-75 from Toledo.
Kind of gas it get on the highway. Oh, boy. Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining me here in the D.
Pleasure again. Thank you.
If you want to get in touch with either of us, I am at Hosted by J Hall. Alex is at AUrban91. And as always, a huge thank you to our sponsor, Moots Pizzeria and Bar, for hosting us. Food, always amazing. Atmosphere is really good. Makes a crappy night in Detroit just a little bit better. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you guys sometime in the near future.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.